Hello, friends. I am Pastor Bill Miller from Redeemer Covenant Church in Liverpool, and I'm your pastor for the day. The format that I've chosen to use for my pastor for the day is a question and answer format. So I'm going to try to answer some questions today. I hope it's helpful for you. Question number one, are guardian angels a biblical reality, and how do they play a part in the life of human beings? Well, I think historically the idea of guardian angels was developed among Jews during the time between the Old and New Testaments. These traditions developed outside of Scripture and are not supported by biblical teaching. But there is a passage, Matthew 18:10, that says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Now, it is not clear where these angels are and what they are doing. It sounds to me like they are in heaven, since they are always seeing the face of God. Also, the verse refers to multiple angels. Now, there are other passages of Scripture that talk about angels protecting humans, angels that guide people, that provide for needs, that provide information and general assistance. The nation of Israel had the Archangel Michael assigned to protect it, but this does not prove that angels are assigned to individuals. Peter received help from an angel to escape prison, yet in this case, the help seems to have been based on a particular need, not necessarily a particular person. The thing that is clear is that God loves us and watches over us. He can help us through an angel or even a donkey. He can move through the Holy Spirit or a friend. The important thing is to follow Christ and trust in His grace. The only thing we should never do is try to worship or pray to or talk to an angel. They hate that. Every time that was done in Scripture, the angel rebukes the person and turns the person's attention to God. Angels only do what God tells them to do. Next question. How shouldn't I respond to a homeless person standing on a street corner? Well, I would pray for him or her. I would ask God what He would like you to do. Be open to anything. Review the parable of the Good Samaritan for insight into God's possible will for you. I dare you. Do we want to be like the Samaritan? We don't want to be like the other guys. Next question. What does God and the Bible say about tattoos? Well, there is no direction about tattoos in the New Testament. There is one famous verse in the Old Testament about tattoos. It goes like this, Leviticus 19:28. "Do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord." Well, I don't like tattoos enough to endure the pain of getting one or the frustration of wishing I hadn't gotten so permanent a message inked onto my body forever. So I have no tattoos. But I don't freak out when I see others with tattoos. It reflects a desire to get that tattoo at some point in their life. It does not say all that much about who they are right now. If you are dogmatic about Leviticus 19:28, then you should consider Leviticus 19:27. It says, "Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard." Now, how many of us have had our barber trim the sides as well as the front and the back? Oh, my. Also consider verse 19 in the same chapter. "Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed." I know a lot of farmers, and they tend to plant different crops in different parts of the field. And the verse goes on to say, "Do not wear clothing woven of two different kinds of materials." Yikes, I could be in violation right now. So there are commands in the Old Testament given to Israel before the coming of Christ that I don't completely understand. There may have been cultural rules back then that made these things into things that they are just not today, not relevant today. For instance, back then, slaves were tattooed to show who they belonged to. Nobody would think of that. Nobody would think of that today when they saw a tattoo. So my personal feelings is that tattoos are probably not a sin for Christians in today's culture. And I still don't like them. What does the Bible and God say about capital punishment and the death penalty? Well, there were commandments in the Old Testament that ended with the calling of the offender's death. Actually, many commandments. In the New Testament, we have a mixed bag. Jesus extended mercy to a woman caught in adultery, which was a capital Old Testament offense. And when his disciples got mad at someone, they wanted to call down fire from heaven to consume the offender. And Jesus rebuked them and talked about love and mercy. Then there is the New Testament story of Ananias and Sapphira, who lied about how much money they'd received from selling a piece of land and giving the whole proceeds to the church. It is a difficult passage to understand because they were not rebuked for keeping some of the money. They were rebuked for lying about it, and it was God himself who killed them. So I could see a Christian of good conscience being for or against the death penalty based on their reading of Scripture and their understanding of mercy and the justice of God. I am personally against it for a totally different reason. I have done prison ministry, and I have seen people in prison give their lives to Jesus Christ. This is one of the main reasons I am here on earth. So if there was no death penalty, then that would mean more people would be in prison and alive, and this would give them more of a chance to receive the Lord. Oof. Okay, well, that's enough questions for today. Thank you for listening. I am Pastor Bill Miller from Redeemer Covenant Church on Morgan Road in Liverpool, New York, and I have been your pastor for the day. If you have a question you'd like to see me try to answer, please send it to pastorbill@myredeemer.com. And thank you for listening. God bless you.